Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Green Room Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Colin Mitchell. Colin, for the second consecutive podcast, we have J.D. Davis on, North Texas Eagle. Colin, I guess he's just become a mainstay. J.D., yeah. How are you doing?
I appreciate you guys having me. Hopefully my computer and everything works this time so we have no technical difficulties.
Yeah, we said after last time, we were like, all right, we got to get him back on. We got to give him another shot here to get on the podcast and talk North Texas, because last time it was quite a show. Now this time though, there is a storm coming through Louisiana, so it might be me that just drops out randomly. I don't know. Can't guarantee anything. But JD, it was the spring game this past weekend, and obviously, quick disclaimer for everybody who doesn't already, but follow North Texas Eagle and JD Davis on Twitter and Patreon, man. They have done a great job building it up over there. Sonoy Valente, Miles, everybody, y'all have a great group of guys, and I know y'all have started building up that Patreon really, really well. So credit to you, JD, and we'll let you plug it at the end, but I wanted to give you a shout out as well.
Appreciate you guys. Thank y'all.
But spring game, it was a game that Green beat White 27-17. They put the rosters out. I actually love this format because it's the most like traditional and like easiest to follow. You know, when you do offense, defense, and the point system stuff, it can be a little complicated. Be like, well, you know, the offense scored like 10 times, but the defense had 70 points, so I don't know how it works. I think, you know, some teams nowadays also just do situational, so you can't really take, you know, a ton from it. But if we just start there with Green beating White, and I think I saw on Twitter some of the Green players were like, it was actually 27-3. You know, we beat the heck out of them, all that stuff. I guess what was the biggest takeaway from the day before we get into too much of the granular stuff?
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway was, you know, when you list out like the top performers, the guys that stood out, there was a lot of transfers in that list. And I think that was the one positive I seen was they got a lot of guys that look like they're going to be players. You know, that's the biggest concern when you take in that many transfers is, you know, there's a chance you could grab a bunch of guys that, you know, aren't going to fit the scheme, a bunch of guys that aren't going to be able to see the field. And then you're just setting your program back, you know, for several years to come. So I think that was the one bright spot for me is when you make a list of the top performers, the guys that stood out, I would say, you know, 80% of those guys, you know, on a top 10 list were new guys that were, you know, just making, you know, their first time on the program, or, you know, transfers, however you want to say it.
Of the new guys on the field, who were the biggest standouts in your eyes?
I'll go one offense, one defense. I think on offense, Oscar Hammond, the tight end from Central Oklahoma, he's a guy that, you know, we've heard his name mentioned several times, you know, in the spring practice, but, you know, you hear a lot of names and then not all the times those guys deliver, but to me, yeah. You know, he is a guy that stood out. I mean, one of the guys that I trust his scouting more than pretty much any guy I know. That was the first guy he mentioned, and he mentioned, you know, he's a White Varkeese Gums, you know, potentially with better hands. So to me, that's exciting. That the guy that sent me that text is not a guy that, you know, sugarcoats anything. He's pretty hard on his evaluation. So hearing that was exciting to me. And then I think Ashim Young, the safety from Ole Miss, you know, originally from Iowa State, you know, having a guy like that on the back end with the experience in the 3-3-5, you know, can be a built-in leader on that defensive side of the ball. I would say that was the standout on the defensive side. So, you know, like I mentioned, two transfers being, you know, the key guys on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. I know a good amount of players were out for this. I think, what was that? I was just looking at the receiver position, especially. I think you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a good amount of talent that North Texas will have that was sidelined for that, correct?
Yeah, you're missing, you know, Jeremiah Aaron, Landon Sides, McMillan.
I know Gabe Blair didn't play. I know it's not a receiver, but yeah.
Yeah, Cortland Marsal, Gabe Blair, Jalen Smith, Kiker Ragsdale, Kiefer Sibley, Zach Evans. I mean, the running back room, I think, was definitely the room that was hit the hardest by injuries and guys that just haven't came back yet from past injuries. But, yeah, there were several key contributors there that weren't able to suit up. And I think that kind of stood out during the scrimmage because you had, you know, guys that were actually recruited as wide receivers actually playing running back. So shout out Shane Porter, transfer from Kansas State, who's a wide receiver, but kind of looked the part, you know, playing running back this spring. So it'll be interesting to see if he kind of sticks there moving forward.
How'd Trey Bradford look? Did he get a lot of carries in this one?
Yeah. I mean, Trey Bradford, like we've talked about, he's got the skills. He's got the talent. Definitely looks the part. I mean, we've seen, you know, when he's seen the field at LSU, he's a guy that can definitely contribute. I think, like I mentioned with Sonoy pre-spring, I think he's a guy that you're not concerned about his skills. You're not concerned about, you know, if he gets on the field, will he contribute? I think it's more of, can Coach Morris, Coach Cobbs, keep him connected, keep him, you know, locked in and keep him on the roster throughout fall.
Sorry, my camera is clearly just destroying my face.
It's got really white. I don't know.
We'll just roll through it, I guess. I can't control my blinds anymore. So anyways, this is it. I just lost my complete train of thought. Okay. Right. So, moving into, I guess, younger players, like how did like a Cash McCollum look, or I guess a Reese Mooney, or I'm trying to go down the list here on the left.
Yeah. Just in general, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young.
Yeah. Cash McCollum, I think he did ended up throwing an interception, but you know, several people reached out to me after the game, you know, he's got the size to be a legit, you know, Division I quarterback and also a guy that can play on Sundays. But not only did he have the size, but he looked the part. I mean, that was the thing that stood out, that he's legit. He's not just a, you know, 6'4 guy that can't move or anything like that. Like, he's got the skill set to potentially, I would say he's your quarterback for the future for North Texas. I think he may not, I don't think he'll play this fall unless injuries happen, but yeah. I think after this season, I mean, he's a guy you could pencil in as battling for the starting job and potentially keeping it for a few years. I would say he's probably one of the key younger guy standouts. I think, you know, Keith Smith is a guy that on the defensive side, that's name's been mentioned a lot, that, you know, on a defensive line that I think's got some skills, but I just don't think they've got the depth they need yet. Hopefully there's some more guys coming in, more backup coming in, but he's a guy that's definitely flashed this spring and looks like he's going to be a player moving forward.
Well, let's jump to Reese Mooney. It was Mooney versus Stone Earl. I guess technically white versus green. What have you heard about Reese? And I guess bigger conversation is, how confident are you now leaving the spring with Chandler Morris still, you know, coming in during the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely Stone versus Morris moving into summer ball. I mean, I think that's nothing I've heard. That's just, you know, me.
Yeah.
You know, what I've seen, what I've saw. I think it's definitely 100%, you know, Stone versus Morris. And I mean, Stone played great. Stone, you know, has improved from last season, but like we said, Stone won the starting job last year. So, you know, I think that I don't judge Stone, you know, his performance on those two games he started last year. I think he's still a competent and could be a solid American Conference quarterback. But yeah, I mean, I think that's hands down the battle we're gonna have to watch going through summer into fall will be those two guys. I think if I had to rank McCollum and Mooney, I would say McCollum. I've got him, you know, above Mooney at this point, but I think those are both two young guys that you know, will battle it out in the future, but I don't think their time is quite yet.
So right now you'd say, and obviously this is without Morris being on campus at this point, just if you were projecting, you'd have it something like Morris, Stone, Mooney, McCollum.
Yeah, and I think without Morris, I think Morris was at the spring game on the sidelines, yeah. But without taking snaps, I think at this point you'd have to have Stone 1A, Morris 1B, just because, you know, he hasn't been at practice. I think I feel kind of bad, you know, going ahead and naming him the starter without actually being on the field. So yeah, I mean, I think Stone's 1A, Morris 1B, and then you've got McCollum and then Mooney.
Outside of quarterbacks, was there any I guess big highlights that you guys saw?
I mean, I think just the safeties, to me, they brought in a bunch of veterans. They brought in, you know, a lot of skilled guys. I mean, I think, you know, BJ Allen's a guy that,
yeah,
you know, former four-star guy. You know, I think the thing that stood out the most was watching those safeties, you know, fill run gaps, something that we didn't see last year. But I think you just seen their veteran presence. And then, you know, having a guy like Rich Tejada back, who's, you know, he may not be the tallest cornerback, but I think pound for pound, he's probably one of the best cornerbacks in the country. You know, getting him back, I think that safety, you know, room went from one of the youngest, one of the, you know, most questioned positions on the team to potentially, I would say that's your strong point at this point, is that the safeties and defensive back room is really impressive. And I think you can probably put them, you know, toe to toe with anybody in the American Conference, and North Texas is there in that conversation. So, yeah, I mean, seeing those veteran guys really step up, I think would be the highlight on the defensive side of the ball, and probably the spring game as well.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. Top three defense players on the roster.
Rod Brown.
Yeah.
Isham Young. And then I'm going Rich Tejada. I think that, you know, he's just a guy that's done it. He's a guy that's been here. Mm-hmm. I know he gets a lot of crap for you know, maybe not being the tallest cornerback, but I mean, I still think that he was pushed off against UTSA. I mean, I think that play gets brought up a bunch, but I mean, I still think that was an offensive pass interference. But yeah, those are my three guys, I would say, leaving out.
That's a really good core. Like, yeah. Those are three players that could, if not should, make all conference teams.
Yeah.
Like, just in theory. So if they can figure everything else out around them, I mean, that's a really good core to go with.
Jake Shipley from Oregon, the defensive line transfer. Yeah. He was a guy that stood out, you know, June coming back on the defensive line. I mean, Wislowski and Brown at the linebacker position. I mean, they're bringing a bunch of guys back that I think this defense is going to be much improved from where they were last year. I really do. I think that this defense has a chance to surprise some fans, especially if they can bring in a couple, you know, potential depth guys along that defensive line as well. I think that this defense could take a big jump this fall, and I think that North Texas is going to need it to kind of rise to the next level in the American Conference.
My last question involving, I guess, skill position, or not skill position, just position, offensive line. That's kind of a not a weak point, but it's question mark. Was there anyone that kind of stood out outside of the normal, like Jed Duncan or anybody like that?
No, I mean, I think the thing that stood out is the size. I mean, I think that's something we've talked about. I mean, you can't, you know, bypass that the staff, you know, made a point to get bigger along the offensive line. And I think they've done that. You know, I think the question mark with the way they did the you know, separating the teams, you know, I don't think we actually seen a true starting five offensive line.
Right.
So I would like to see that together, see what that's kind of, you know, doing. Like, I think pass protection was kind of a concern, and especially against our defense, you know, a defense that didn't have the best of luck last year, you know, creating pressure. I would say that was probably my biggest concern leaving spring game was the pass. I think this team's going to be able to run the ball. I think they'll, with the size, they're going to be able to do that. But yeah, I would say biggest concern along the offensive line is pass protection. And then, you know, who is the actual starting five? I think they've got 8 to 9 guys that can rotate in there and play multiple positions. So that's going to be interesting to see when that first depth chart comes out, how they've kind of got everybody placed.
For sure.
I mean, are there any players you have locked in on the offensive line right now that you're like, okay, Gabe Blair, boom.
Yeah.
Jet Duncan.
Boom. Yeah, I mean, I think Jet Duncan, Gabe Blair, those are the two that I would say, you know, those guys. Jet Duncan's been a guy that's bounced around and I think played pretty much all five positions. Yeah. And, you know, an undersized guy, but, you know, like I said, with Rich Tejada, I mean, pound for pound, he's probably one of the best offensive linemen in the American Conference. So I think those two guys are two you'd have to lock in. Then Peterson from Texas Tech, Lee from Missouri.
Yeah, they're all transfers other than that.
Yeah.
Johnny Dickinson.
Yeah, I mean, and then, like I said, you start going down the list. I mean, the guy they got from Tech last year that I went blank on, there's several guys battling. Guillory from SFA, who was a multi-year starter, all-conference guy. I mean, they've definitely got some depth there that you know, even if one guy goes down, there's hopefully, you know, next man up mentality. There's like I said, should be 9 to 10 guys there that could potentially start and also – be there to back up in case some injuries happen.
Cool.
So leaving spring, I guess finish the sentence. Leaving spring, you feel
much better than I did last year. Okay. I do. Good. I do. I think there's definitely some. I think running back room, you're going to have to get healthy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, offensive line, you're going to have to figure out who your five are, potentially work on some pass protection. And I think defensive line, you're going to have to bring in some guys to add depth there. I think you're not at a D1 level as far as depth goes. I think there is some talent. There is some potential there. But at that, even saying that, I do feel better leaving this spring than I did last spring. I think that there's some definitely some pieces to work with, and definitely some younger guys that look like, you know, are definitely going to be dudes moving forward. So that's exciting. I mean, a lot of guys are going to be playing this fall. Came from Morris's first two recruiting classes.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Defensive line is across the country. Like every team, it seems like, I mean, even SEC, Big 12, like everyone's like, we need defensive linemen. It is such a heralded position right now in the transfer portal era, where it's like a lot of teams just don't have it. And when you do have it, like the teams that do have it are Texas, Michigan, and, you know, those teams. Like everybody else is like, we don't have nothing. Like LSU doesn't have defensive tackles. No, like, Texas is even lacking on defensive tackles right now because all theirs are in the draft and they lost their D-line coach. So it's like, it is a hard position to get like a lot of depth at, but it's important.
I think it's a position that, we've seen it in the past, but I feel like coaches are going to have to get more creative with this. I mean, you look at a guy like Ladarius Hamilton was a linebacker from 2A Texas football and, you know, comes in and becomes an all-conference defensive end. There was a guy that North Texas had on campus 2 years ago that was an offensive tackle walk-on. He goes to JUCO, becomes a defensive tackle, and he signs with Baylor this year. So, I mean, I think when you have guys like that on campus, you're going to have to get creative and realize, hey, instead of being a third-string, you know, offensive tackle, let's try to put you at defensive tackle, put you at the one technique. And I think that's – I feel like we're going to see that moving forward. I think the guy that we signed from – Braswell this year, I think he's a defensive tackle. They've talked about moving him to offensive line, but I think you're going to have to get creative and kind of find some of those under the radar guys and try to develop them. Cause like I said, you're not going to be able to go out, especially in the NIL era, and find ready to play defensive linemen. You're going to have to get creative.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely. One of the toughest things. All right. That's all we got, JD. We did it. Nobody had power outages. Nobody was knocking on our doors.
Just had the sun on my face.
Colin had to get up briefly to go turn down his blinds so he actually had color in his skin again.
Colin had the opposite of the eclipse. The sun was actually in his room.
Hey, that eclipse is wild.
That was good.
I've never seen like a total solar eclipse, so that was pretty cool.
The videos looked cool. It was cloudy and rainy over here.
Well, I forget you didn't even see it. Yeah.
Well, I feel like if there weren't clouds, I think I would have gotten like 80%.
Yeah, it's not good enough though. It doesn't do it justice.
I wasn't gonna look at it anyways, honestly. I was scared, and I don't have glasses, so
we had our whole like work company, like we got went outside and had like had food picnic, like Star Crunch and moon pies and Sunny D and all that stuff, and I felt like we sat out there for like 40 minutes and the eclipse was a total of like felt like 2 minutes, and then all right, back inside, back to work.
Yeah.
It's over with.
You got to stay an extra 30 minutes for us sitting outside. Sorry.
Yeah.
Workday don't end until 5:30 today, guys. Get back in there.
But yeah, JD, plug your Patreon, plug everything, because y'all, like I said before, y'all do a great job over there covering everything.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so North Texas Eagle on Patreon, the NT Eagle on Twitter, and then you can follow me on North Texas Eagle. We're definitely going to keep having interviews. Hopefully have some coaches on here before long. I would like to, you know, kind of branch out a little more into basketball this year as the basketball team's kind of in disarray right now. So hopefully we can start having a little more basketball content and try to, but yeah, like I said, we'll check us out and hopefully enjoy what you see.
There's the sales pitch. check them out. Patreon. It's only $5, at least that I've seen. I don't know if y'all need a super like a $30 a month package, and JD will come to your house and talk North Texas football.
Yes, or you can come out to JD Cattle Company, and you can pick out your own steaks and hang out, and we'll
Hey,
spend the day on the farm. That's what the $30 package entails. Mm. The
VIP do like a little tour.
Yes, you get a tour of JD Cattle Co. if you pay $30 a month. There we go.
Hey, don't tempt me with good time. Do that.
We'll deliver to Baton Rouge for you, Matthew. Don't worry.
There you go. But yeah, thanks, JD, coming on.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Colin, are you ready to be sad?
I mean, yes and no.
Upset, angry.
I feel like how many emotions, how many stages of denial did you go through when CJ Nolan was announced?
So that many, he's transferring. Dude. So for those who don't know, North Texas
everyone knows.
Men's basketball. The top six players are gone. Five of which hit the transfer portal. Really, the top five players into the transfer portal. Robert Allen's out of eligibility. So we're looking at a complete rebuild, a complete and start from the bottom, start from scratch, build it up from there. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but to answer your question, when CJ Nolan entered the portal, that's when it really set in for me. Because I'm cool. We talked about this last podcast. I'm Jason Edwards entering the portal. I'm cool with Ruben and Aaron. I'm cool with. They both, you know, did their time, I guess, for lack of better phrasing. But Ruben and Aaron gave a lot to this program.
Yeah,
I'm no problem with them moving on. Jason Edwards, honestly, I'm not surprised by him moving on. So those three did not hit me. I thought John Bugs and CJ Nolan were going to stay. I thought those two were perfect candidates to get a bigger role on next year's team. They fit what North Texas does and does well on both sides of the ball, I thought. I thought they fit Ross Hodge's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there's a lot we don't know in terms of everything. So you kind of have to be comfortable.
Yeah.
This is in any transfer portal situation, but especially like mid-majors type stuff, you have to be comfortable not knowing all of what's going on. So you have to operate in that gray area when talking about this. But just in general, I thought those were two guys that you look at a North Texas, a top 75 program perennially over the past 8 years, or 7 years, I guess. Those are two guys that would be surefire starters, surefire, you know, high-level players for this team next year. They're both gone. And now I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to do like with anything right now.
Yeah, I mean, you get left with Mulai, Alex Cotton, Matthew Stone,
Rondell Walker,
and then
two freshmen.
I mean, if you want to include like Grayson Allo, I don't even know if he's still there, but like that's what the roster has left on it. And I don't know, going into the off season, knowing that not everyone was going to stay, but knowing that you didn't have a lot of seniors, you had Robert Allen, then that everyone else had the possibility to stay, I thought we'd be in a pretty good position right about now. And now I feel like my heart was just ripped out of my chest. I mean, just repeat what you said. I really thought that Bugs and CJ Nolan were going to stay. Now you kind of have to rebuild. Not only like this is way harder than even after Grant leaving, because now you're not only having to replace a playmaker or a shooter or something like that, but you have to replace a lead guard. You have to replace what many people think is an NBA prospect. You have to replace, on top of already having to replace rebounding with Robert Allen, and more shooters scoring guard and Jason Edwards. It's like,
yeah,
I think everyone thinks that Ross can put up a roster that'll compete, but it's hard to think that North Texas basketball will continue to have the expectations of top four every year in my eyes.
Yeah. In the American. Now I do want to touch on this, but I have more to talk about like in North Texas perspective, but I do want to talk about like, the American Athletic Conference as a whole has been raided. And I mentioned this, I think, a little bit on that 2-minute video I put out on Twitter. But outside of UAB, who managed to keep everybody, which I think that will happen at times. A mid-major team will keep everybody. And you'll be like FAU last year, right? FAU was able to keep everybody after a Final Four run. UAB has done the same thing this year. everybody else has pretty much lost their best players. Like, USF has lost their top guys. FAU, obviously, with Dusty May going to Michigan, they've lost mm-hmm. their top guys. Charlotte has lost their top two players. Memphis is going to be a completely different roster, you know, which just is what it is. A lot of them were older as well. So Memphis is going to be very different. Tulsa, PJ Haggerty ends up going to Memphis, their best player. East Carolina, I know they've lost at least their best player. He's going to Miami. I think they might have lost another guy as well. Tulane lost a guy that's scoring 12 points a game. Like Rice, Mekhi Mason's going to Washington. UTSA, Jordan Ivey Curry is going to Virginia Tech. I just named almost every team in the conference. Now, what I think is disappointing is that it's not just one or two guys from North Texas. It's five.
Yeah, it's your starting five.
Like, it is everybody is gone. Yeah. So, I don't, like, it's not that North Texas is in a completely dissimilar situation from everybody else here. It is, A, the fact that we've had continuity for so long within the program. And I know I always do that. And B, I think also, you know, UAB and Memphis and SMU, like a lot of them, like we know they're going to have talent year in, year out now, especially with SMU hiring Andy Enfield, who is just a recruiter. I'm sorry, SMU's not in the conference anymore. I don't have to worry about them. I'm looking at the standings from this year. Oh, yeah. It's so nice. Just, yeah, remove SMU from there. But still, you're going to have to compete with like a UAB now who returns everybody. And are you going to be able to, at the top end, compete with Memphis and UAB and whoever else gets talent from the portal? Like, I just think the ceiling as a team and as a program is significantly lower in this day and age in terms of transfer portal for mid-majors. Like, I just think it's harder. Like, I think your top teams, like, that make the NCAA tournament, like UAB, like I mentioned, it's going to be when they return two to three top players from the last year's team and they add to it from the portal and they're really good.
Yeah.
These teams that have to completely rebuild, I just can't see going into a year expecting to be top three in the conference, like top two, like, okay, oh, we're going to make the tournament this year. The reason North Texas made the tournament in 2020 was because, or 2021 was because they had Javion Hamlet, Zach Simmons, James Reese, go down the list of players that had returned, and then they added Mardrez McBride, and they added players that helped them out. And when things went wrong and they were losing games, it was fine because they had already been through the wars together in 2020. And so it's just it feels completely like a completely different terrain right now that we're facing.
I think the thing that bothers me the most is that you had guys that have transferred multiple times or have just came from a transfer transferring out after seeing their role grow. Like, Bugs and Nolan.
Bugs and Nolan. Those are the two that you're like,
it's like, to me, it feels weird. Like, it doesn't feel like, I don't know. Because like you said, you have teams losing their top end talent, which, you know,
like,
that's going to happen.
Like, I think we all expected like that. Losing Aaron and Ruben, right? It would have been like, all right, Aaron, Ruben, and maybe even Jason. It's like, okay, you lose your top end talent every year, but
right, but yeah, you still have something like Bugs came in here. He was at UTSA, and it's like, okay, well now you're on a really good team. Nolan wasn't playing at Oklahoma,
yeah,
and now he's the lead guard on a pretty good team, and then it's just like I guess, I mean, I'm not a college athlete in this, so I'm not going to pretend that I would make a decision one way or the other, but it just seems weird to even I said this about Jason, but I understand Jason more to an extent. Is it's like, you have your role now, you know what you're going to get, you're being told already, you know the system, there's not going to have to be a change of scenery, whereas every single one of these guys, Aaron and Ruben included, you're taking a chance on being worse or not having the same role. And for Aaron and Ruben, it makes more sense. For Jason, he can probably score anywhere. But for guys like CJ and Bugs, it's like, especially Bugs being already gone to four schools or however many schools it was, it's like, I feel like he had a place here. Like you said, like they fit. Yeah. So it just, I don't know. It feels weird to me. And then having to replace that in a portal that is, I just see on Twitter, is getting eaten up by any big school or any already established basketball school, it seems disheartening.
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at last year, Abu ends up going to Xavier. Xavier has an okay year. They lose in the first round of the NIT. His usage percentage dropped from, again, North Texas. In his 2 years as a starter, he was 26% usage, 27% usage. This year, Xavier was 20% usage. So it's like, all right, you're going to take that natural dip. Tyler Perry, same type of thing. You go to Kansas State, they lose in the first round of the NIT as well. His usage percentage goes from 24, 24.5 to 22, and his efficiency craters. Like, he goes from a 40% three-point shooter to 33% three-point shooter. His two-point percentage drops 5%. So it's like, I don't think Tyler Perry and Abu would trade those. Like, I don't think they made the wrong decision, because, you know, you get to experience Kansas State, you get to experience Xavier.
Oh, for sure.
And that's what Aaron and Ruben, I think, will do this year. Like, their numbers might be worse, but wherever they go, I think that they'll have a chance to obviously show themselves and, you know, enjoy maybe some high, you know, high, like, Big 12 basketball or something. But it's different for CJ. It's different for Bugs. Like, I think even to an extent, it's different for Jason. And you've built yourself here, but you haven't established yourself in North Texas. Like, Tyler and Abu and Aaron and Ruben established themselves in North Texas. Heck, even Mo established himself at North Texas, I guess, two or three years before going to
I think three.
And then Mo was at Oklahoma for, like, 2 years, then went to DePaul for a year. So it's like he had a lot of ahead of him as well. So it is draining as a fan, like from a fan perspective. I think we can talk about that a little bit. Like, from a fan perspective, it is draining, because that's North Texas, like, or I guess athletics in general for any college fan is to a degree about player connection. And at North Texas, especially, where it is so intimate, like we talked about, the North Texas fan base isn't massive, right? Like, we don't have this, we're not filling up the super pit, you know, 13,000, however many it holds right now. We're getting a few thousand, but it feels very intimate to where Thomas Bell, Zach Simmons, like, you go down a list of names over the past 7 years, and you remember multiple good moments for multiple years with those guys.
Yeah.
Now it's like, all right, what was John Bugs' highlight from the year? Like, what will you remember John Bugs about? I just remember him shooting a lot.
Yeah.
CJ Nolan had a lot of buckets. I mean, but, like, now it's North Texas. Next year we'll have a whole different rotation, whole different starting five. We'll have no connection. We won't know their development. We won't know how much better Ross is making them. We won't know have any context of anything. We're just going to get these players and say, all right, they're good. They're bad. They've won games. They've lost games. And it's very – I hate to sound like everybody else in the world talking about college sports right now, but it just feels transactional. And that's not fun.
It's not fun, but, I mean, I think it's – play devil's advocate, like, I think the college players should be able to do whatever they want in terms of
they should that. And I think we've talked about it, sorry to cut you off, we've talked about it off air, on air, whatever, but, like, at some point I do think it will become, like, a legitimate pay for play, like,
I think it has to, because otherwise, like, as much as I think players should be able to leave or whatever, but also you have to protect the schools and the programs, and you know,
because eventually, I think it has to come down, like, collective bargain, revenue share, like, where players are getting paid based off of all that stuff. So,
yeah.
And you can lock them in for 2 years or whatever it is. You know, you figure it out, you sign a contract, and you kind of move forward from there. It needs to become that way. Because I think we've just gone too far over the deep end, and there's too much uncertainty right now, really across the country. And I'm not just talking about mid majors, like, it's everywhere. I mean, it's not just the schools that are fighting at the bottom, even though they are getting hit the most. I mean, the lower you go, the more you get hit.
Right.
Like, there will not be a player if you are at you go through the Southland Conference, like, outside of McNeese right now, like, their top scorers are all gone. Sun Belt top scorers all gone. American top scorers all gone. So, yeah, more than anything else, it's just depressing to me, honestly. So,
yeah,
I think we take it easy.
Mm.
And then whenever we start hearing noise about additions, like who they're adding, we can start talking about that. Well, I think we try to get Ross on at some point, maybe talk about it as well. But other than that, it's just wait and see. There's nothing else we can do at this point.
Yep.
All right. I was going to bring up something else, but we can end it there. Colin's got to get to work. It's 10 o'clock. I forgot. Sorry. But thank you all for joining us. Leave us a like, comment, share, subscribe to YouTube if you haven't already. Follow us on Twitter, Green Room UNT, Spotify, everything. We appreciate y'all for sticking with us through a basketball season and spring football, and now we've got the offseason ahead of us. So stay tuned for that. We got some fun stuff lined up. But, yeah, we will talk to y'all later.